to download the files. We ask that if you do not, I'm sorry, if you do need to eat during the meeting, please eat quietly in the back of the room. Just a moment, I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm glad to be here. And I'm just going to start again or continue. So here I go. Number six, for those in person, please take a moment to silence or turn off your cell phones and do not connect to the room's Wi-Fi. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation and for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen. I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself? Okay, all right. I am not alone. Thank you. Thank you. The We Care folder will be circulating in the room for the duration of the meeting. The first time for you to list your name, telephone number, and email, and the rest for you to take numbers and names to call during the week. If you are joining us remotely, please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the HOW format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OAA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What is HOW?
Hello. Hi, this is Michelle.
Hello, Michelle. Hi. Welcome.
Hi. What is HOW? HOW is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous, whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means of freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did HOW begin? HOW began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in HOW sponsoring stem from the OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide. And with that, I pass.
Please read the only requirement.
I am Howard, a compulsive overeater.
Hello, Howard.
Hey there.
Welcome.
Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements, in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions, inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the HOW concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here tonight by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for members is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms.
Thanks, Howard.
Thank you, Howard. Would someone please read the how concept? All right, thank you. I'm gonna read the how concept. Absolutely. So, hello, my name is Nancy. Hey. The Overeaters Anonymous How meeting have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any substantial abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of program and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscious and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as is written in our literature. I'm sorry, the evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offer us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our life. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive eating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we had never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understand him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested in this room. Amen.
Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Would someone please read Reflections for the Newcomer?
Hi, this is Kelly, a compulsive overeater in California. Welcome to OA How. We are also glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a discipline program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which in accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there's a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is fresh, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. The newcomer shies away. This is my son being silly. From the son's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. The doctor's opinion. Big book, page XXVI, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we all need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. a body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative, the family afterward. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. Pass.
Thank you, Kelly. Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sheila.
When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth about ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Once we honestly looked at our lives, it became easy for us to admit we had acted insanely where food and weight were concerned.
Thank you, Sheila. Thank you, Sheila. Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
Hi, everyone. Good evening. It's Erlinda, compulsive overeater.
Oh, Erlinda.
Hi. Okay. So rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who will suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us had tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us, but there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery.
Thank you, Erlinda. Thank you. Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Here we go. This is Lisa J. in Oregon.
Hello, Lisa.
Welcome. Recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. From the Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60. Thank you, Lisa J. in Oregon.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Hi, everyone. This is Liz A., grateful compulsive overeater and food addict in Florida.
Hello, Liz. Welcome.
1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Liz.
Thanks, Liz.
The tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. And in order for a tool to work, it must be used. I love that part. So, 2, with our tools of recovery, I will ask that house sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper? Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you. Virtual participants receive timing prompts via chat. The abstinent plan of eating.
Hi, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, HAL member.
from Oregon.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome. Hi, everyone. Hi. Plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking, is a large part of the disease. So we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. Number one, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. Or did I miss myself up here? If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Number two, unless approved by our sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. Number three, we weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and a scale. And I will show you what I have here as part of a toolkit that I use on a daily basis so that those that are new or otherwise can see. So this is what I do, and this is the way I was taught several full moons ago, thank God, that I measure things. And I'll show you what I have. I'll show you this. I have this really large scale at my house. It's huge. But I love it because it's so big and I can see what's on there, and there isn't a plate or any utensil that obstructs the view of what I need to see, because it's very important. Very important to measure things absolutely accurate. These are also part of my food plan. These are measuring cups. And I take this wonderful little measuring cup and I put whatever food I have in there. I just pick the smallest one. Say, for example, I get a third of a cup of rice or something like that. I'll put it inside this cup. And I kind of just tap it down a bit, make sure the outside is wet. Oh, a rag is a part of my food plan too, my abstinence kit. And so I wipe off the outside of it because I just don't want anything falling in that's not mine. And I take this little spatula and I run it right across the top. Sometimes I go twice. You might not need to do that, but a couple of times to make sure that it's absolutely flat across the top. And then whatever's inside this little cup gets to be mine, and I put it on my plate. And anything else that's on the side or whatever is not mine. And that's the case for any of these particular cups. I also have measuring spoons here. There's a couple of them here. If I happen to get ground seeds or nuts or something like that, I'll use this particular one. In the same situation, I'll take my rag and wipe it off. It's a damp rag. I wipe off everything on the side and on the top. I take this little knife that has already been wiped off, because I don't cross-contaminate my food from one kind of food to the other. I'll take it and I'll wipe it right across the top again, just flat, flat, flat like that, because it's that critically important. And so that whatever's inside this is mine and it goes on my plate. And the monkey chatter is gone from my mind. When I first came in, I used this particular kind of scale, which is a spring-loaded scale. I learned how to do this in Minnesota, y'all, because those batteries get sucked the life out of them come wintertime, and I had to learn that because I was an Oregonian gal. So this is a great alternative for that if you keep one in your car. And what we do with this particular one, and so we make sure we put our food in there. And for example, I get 3 ounces of a protein of some sort. And I have to make sure with this little dial on the back that it starts at 0, put my food in there and goes to 3. And it's right there splitting that line. And I put it at a place that I can see it, that I don't have to lean over looking down or go up looking up, because I want it to be completely accurate. And my sponsor taught me how to do that, and it was the best piece of information. Keeps the monkey chatter out of the head. Some people have liquid measures. Here's a little liquid measuring thing, and you can see on the line, you want to put that right at your eye level again as well, and you can use this for liquid measures. The other little tricky thing that I have is this particular scale. It is fabulous, absolutely fabulous. It's a travel scale, and it fits nice. It's lightweight, and it splits so that I can put a larger plate on there for larger foods. Nothing that I ever had has not fit on this particular scale at any particular time, whether it was small or large, and the readout is down here, very plain to see. Absolutely fabulous. And some other kinds of tricks that I have in my absence kit that I carry along in my car. But that's basically it. Get the rest of the details from your sponsor. When you talk to him or her, they'll give you this and they'll teach you what, because that's the, I won't go anymore. I can go on and on about this sort of thing. It saved my life. Okay, let's move on to number four. We weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. Number five, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water each day. Number six, trying to get set my timer here. Number six, we do not drink alcohol. Number seven, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed fifth or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts, it's the decision to take it that matters. And I'll start my timer here. I do get excited about this particular method because when I came in these rooms, I was almost 50 years old, and that was some odd 14 years ago. And the experience of weighing and measuring my food told me exactly how sick I was. Exactly how sick I was. Because when I started putting food on a plate and putting it on that scale and started zeroing things out, I was sweating from head to toe because it was that important to get this thing right initially. And I had to make sure that it wasn't a pinch over or a skosh below anything that I had. It was that important. But the resistance that I had to it and the emotion all around it, the moments that I would spend on my back on the floor crying because I didn't know if I got it right and I didn't have the good sense to call somebody to ask for help, I was that bound up in this particular disease. But when those practices were done, were absolutely done, and that breakthrough from that undisciplined mind and thinking, and the monkey chatter was gone for the first time in my life and ever in 50 years, I knew that I had a hold of something powerful. And I respect it to that degree to this day. I don't mess around with it. I don't put my food up to chance. It goes in cups and knives and forks and spoons and scales every single day. And I plan for it like I would any other kind of fatal and deadly need for this particular deal. You know, I was told this past week, and I overheard somebody talking about something this past week, and that just really blew my mind. Basic concept, but it just said something to me spiritually where I'm at. The difference between the first step and step one. For me and how, the first step is getting that food right. In the 12 and 12 of AA in step six, it says I have to do this with 100% perfection. Step one with 100% perfection. You might say, oh my gosh, that's too much. That's too tight. I'm not going to call that Melanie. I'm telling you, if you're as sick as I am, if you're as sick as I am, you get that idea of 100%. That's the first step. The first step in this process is getting that food down, finding out exactly what I'm allergic to, what I'm chasing the effect of, what I'm trying to control and enjoy so that I don't have to succumb to the desire again. And the idea about the difference between the first step and step one comes from the book. The directions are in the book. Step one is for the twisted thinking. Once the food is down, the first step, get it right, y'all. Have the freedom of the monkey chatter from your mind. Live neutral around food for the first time ever. And you're taught that with a scale and a measuring cup by your sponsor here and now. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you, Melanie. Sponsorship.
Can't hear you, Betty.
I'm I'm afraid we still cannot hear you. There.
There, how's that?
Perfect, thank you.
Thank you. Hi, hello. Everybody.
Hello, Betty, welcome.
Hi, Betty. Thank you.
Hi. I'm a compulsive overeater and I wanted to talk about sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members in OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls. For the newcomer, a sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it, and that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring, our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. And the way that I utilize sponsorship is that I was kind of lost in program without having a sponsor, and I was fairly quickly able to find one when I came into the program. So I tried to find anybody I could, but I wasn't given a sponsor until the right person came forward, and I'm grateful for that, and I'm happy to have that sponsor. As a sponsor myself, I find that it can be fragile and delicate balance, but it requires a lot of trust on both the sides of the sponsor and the sponsee. And I chose this tool tonight because a sponsee of mine hurt my feelings a little bit, which is not a place for me getting my feelings hurt, but I was like so thin-skinned, I was wounded a little by it when she asked me to not commiserate with her, but to reflect back to her my own experience, strength, and hope. And I was saying to myself, no, you need to be sympathetic to people. Well, no, what was needed in this situation was empathy. And I learn from these things. I learn from every time I meet a new sponsee and in asking the correct questions the way that I really mean them of my own sponsor. It is, again, really important to have some things in common with our sponsors. And the main thing is to really be focused on the program and to stay with program without our ego or the image we want to project becoming bigger than what's going on. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Betty. Will all sponsors, Howe and OA, please join me in the sharing, in sharing the following. One, how long in OA and Howe. Two, how long abstinent in OA or Howe. And three, how much weight lost or gained. This is not a time for sharing, for sponsors to share. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If you wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Please form a line starting at the microphone and continue behind me. Remote sponsors are invited to share following our line by clicking the raise hand button and turning on your video camera or just turning on your you are unmuted by host screen prompt. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. Sponsors joining us on the phone. Please wait for a pause in the line and press star and six on your telephone keypad. Move through the line.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor on the late show. I've been abstaining a little over 33 years, 18 years, and 4 months of abstinence in OA. How I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Nancy, compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of Howe in June of 2017, and I have been relieved of 84 pounds, and I have my back-to-back abstinence is March of 2019.
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater. I came directly to Howe in May of 2015. My abstinence date's May 19th of 2015, and I've been relieved of over 90 pounds.
Betty.
Hi, my name is Betty. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I have been abstinent for about 2.5 to 3/4 years in the HOW program. I'm delighted that I've been blessed with this ability and opportunity to be here. I have lost approximately 100 pounds. Pass.
Kelly.
Hi, it's Kelly again, compulsive overeater in California. I came to OA in 2013. I came to HOW in October 2018, and my back-to-back abstinence is February 2019, and I am maintaining a 70-pound weight loss. Kelly in California, pass.
Melanie.
Hi, everyone. My name is Melanie. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and two-hour OA HOW sponsor. I was first introduced to Overeaters Anonymous in the fall of 1989, 17 more years inside and outside the rooms to get the abstinence that I have in November 2005. I've had continuous abstinence for all those years, but I have a new calibrated abstinence date of November 5th, 2018. Melanie from Oregon. Thanks.
Tamara.
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I came into traditional OA on January 2nd of 2016. I heard about the HOW program and became abstinent on April 3rd of 2017. By the grace of God and the miracles of this program, I've been relieved of 97 pounds from my top weight, with over 75 pounds lost in the HOW program. Pass.
Erlinda.
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda. I'm from Chicago, recovering compulsive overeater. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 11, 2019, and I've been relieved of 57 pounds. I do not have an opening right now, but thank you, and I'm really grateful to be here.
Revitel.
Hi there. Oops, let me... Can am I being heard? Start video.
Yes.
Oh, here we are. Hi, everybody. It's Ravital, recovering, gratefully recovering, compulsive overeater and food addict. Sponsor in the two-hour OAHO format. I can't remember what I need to say. Been relieved of over 100 pounds. Walked into the OA rooms in 2004. Was introduced to two-hour OA How in on May 23rd of 2017, became abstinent and have been abstinent since that day by the grace of God and the power of this program, one day at a time. Thanks.
Dave.
Hi, this is Dave in Albany, New York. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and an OA How sponsor. My abstinence date is January 9th of 2016. I've been relieved of about 65 pounds. I don't currently have an opening. Dave in Albany, pass.
Liz.
Hi, this is Liz A., a grateful compulsive overeater and food addict in Ormond Beach, Florida. I am a sponsor in the OA How two-hour format. My abstinence date is 8/8/2019. I've given away 50 pounds, 27 of those in OA How. I do have an opening for a newcomer, and you can call me at 386-852-9209. I'll repeat that. It's 386-852-9209. And we can talk about the time. If you give me a call, just wait till after the meeting. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? All right. Clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal or mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in that fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Anonymity.
Hi, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hello, Tamara.
Hello, hello. Anonymity. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition, because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and television means that we never allow our last names or faces to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It's not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may, in fact, help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of our program that allows us to stand in front of our phones and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we've been, and where we hope to go. With fear that our stories will be told out in the room. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing, where we are not told what we did wrong. We came into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We're supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We're encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told, your secrets are safe. Your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery. Recovery on a threefold basis, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here. When you leave here, let it stay here.
Here.
Yeah. It was very important to me when I first came that that I was able to actually talk to someone with their undivided attention and relate on so many different levels with my calls and my sponsor. I was truly mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. I didn't realize how ill I was in my spiritual life and in my emotional health as well. And it was only from being able to share honestly with others that I was able to find some recovery. I was often before program, I was not honest with myself even. What my brain told my head and spirit was that it was always skewed. It was never an honest admittal of anything. And when I was able to connect with other people, that's really when my truthfulness started, and I was able to really share a lot. The way that we can communicate honestly, respect each other. What we give in listening and understanding is so so valuable. To not have the criticism or the judgment. Sometimes the people on the phone and sponsoring, they give us our time and their listening ear. I'd like to read just a little bit out of Voices of Recovery. In this program, we share our deep, dark secrets. We experience relief. I also experienced trust in another person and found that he or she trusted me as well. Because my sponsor shared some of their experiences, I knew that I was not alone or unique. I had to trust anybody to share with my friends. The ultimate sharing created friendship that lasts to this day. I can say anything to my trusted friend and or my sponsor without fear. This unconditional acceptance, love, and trust allow me to be open and recover. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Tamara.
Telephone calls.
Hi, good evening. It's Erlinda from Chicago. Hi, compulsive overeater. Okay, so compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience.
The telephone is also a daily link for sponsors. As a part of the surrender process is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend the same help to others. In HAL, we are asked to make at least four telephone calls a day. One to our sponsor, and three more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. So yes, this telephone is my lifeline. There was a time when I was like dealing with binge eating and really in the food. And during that time, I was the most isolated. Like, you know, I was doing things like hiding in the closet. Like I didn't want to talk to people, you know, just totally cut off everybody in my life. And it's like so dangerous when you do that. So really, you know, the telephone is such an important tool because not only do you, it's like repatterning the brain. Okay. It's like, instead of like when I get stressed or something happens, instead of picking up the food, I pick up the phone now. So it's like, you know, it's like replacing one thing for another. Right. And I call people in the program and it's an opportunity for me to like kind of share with them what's going on and them to share with me stuff that's going on. And it's like, nice. I feel like I have friends and other fellows now that I can relate to who understand what I'm going through and who don't mind listening when I'm having a bad day or even when I'm having a good day. Like it's okay to have good days too, you know? And it's like being able to share that with them. You know, I use the phone to call my sponsor every day at a set time. You know, I'm so grateful she gives me to dedicated time to support me on this. And as I talk to my sponsee as well. So it's just something that really, really, without it, I don't think we could be able to do this program. I don't know how people did it back in the day without cell phones. So I am grateful for the cell phone. I am grateful that we can do Zoom on the phone and all these different things. And I'm just grateful for all the fellows. So thanks to the telephone and thanks for my other fellows on this call. Thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you, Linda. Meetings.
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater. Meetings. Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HAL members, we attend at least one HAL meeting a week. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. So as I was sitting kind of reflecting on this tool and maybe what I wanted to pitch on, kind of what had crossed my mind is like all of the things that a meeting gives me. But tonight, especially when I was sitting and listening to the sponsor line, I couldn't help but think about like the inspiration that just seeing and hearing the sponsor line, kind of what that gives me. And it says here, part of the last sentence was relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through the program. And just being able to hear that on the sponsor line tonight was just pretty amazing. But the other thing that really meetings give me is I kind of say coming to a meeting is like an opportunity to recharge. Like I have to go to a meeting once a week. I shouldn't say I have to. I get to go to a meeting once a week to recharge and kind of get re-energized. I'm also an isolator. So meetings get me outside of my normal comfortable environment and give me an opportunity to meet people face to face or camera to camera, I guess, is that right? In this case, it's camera to camera, right? But you know, and like it says too, it's fellowship is the basis of all of them all. And I know someone else had just kind of pitched about making sure it, you know, this program makes you feel like you have friends and kind of coming together in this common place every week just really also makes me feel like I have friends and people that are like me. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Sheila. Literature and writing.
Hi, this is Kelly, compulsive overeater.
Hello, Kelly.
I'm not sure anyone has ever pitched from inside their car at their daughter's softball practice, but let's do it. Okay. Literature and writing. Literature. We study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and the 12 Traditions, another AA book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify in closely. We also read OA literature, the OA Big Book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions for today, for daily meditation, and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our own growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives us insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to our writing our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is all. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. So when I came to OA in 2000, I did not do much literature or writing, including the Big Book, which I've shared about that, how my doctor's opinion fell out. And I said, oh, that's okay. I didn't understand that chapter anyways. And now I've come to realize that the doctor's opinion is the most important chapter in the entire Big Book for me. Because if we don't get that twofold illness for me, if I can't get that twofold illness, I'm in trouble. So let's see, coming to how, I was told to get the Big Book, which I had, the 12 and 12, which I had, and those are my primary books I use in program. But going back when I first came to OA, I got the For Today book, and I'd read a writing. I read for the day, and I didn't do any writing. I would just read, kind of like my diets that would always start on Monday. So then the next day, I wouldn't have time to do the reading. So I'd catch up. I'd say, oh, on Wednesday, I'll do Monday and Tuesday. And then on Friday, oh, let me do the whole week. And then pretty soon I was committing to do the entire month of March. So you see how that goes. It reminds me of those. This is my diet. New Year's resolution. New year, new me. All of that, that never came because it was just self-will. So for today, I love that I have literature and writing that's due every single day. It helps me become a responsible person living in recovery. I'm just getting back from the convention in New Jersey. And one of the things I was so excited to come back to was to my time zone where I can call my sponsor at our normal scheduled time and be ready with my my reading and writing assignment. And to me, I'm reading, writing out of the AA 12 and 12, and it's just been an amazing experience. Able to dig deeper what God has for me. What is my message? How can I carry that into my recovery? I can't see if there's any timer on that. So I will just summarize that literature and writing has been amazing. If you told me that this would be something I'd actually look forward to every day, I don't know which tool I love the best and how I love them all. And I just feel so grateful I get to use them every day with all of you guys. So signing off from softball. Thanks, guys. Pass.
Right on. Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Service.
Hi, everyone. Still Liz in Florida, grateful compulsive overeater.
Liz.
Hi. Okay, carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship, and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole, are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. Quote, A life of sane and happy usefulness, end quote, is what we are promised as the result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this I am responsible. So in the phone meetings and the virtual meetings, we don't make coffee, although you in the room there in Minnesota have a lot of setup to do. Those of us phoning it in, there's plenty that we can do to make this meeting happen. From the speaker that we have tonight, to everyone who read one of the tools, even a newcomer can offer to do one of the beginning readings just by volunteering in the chat. And after the meeting, we can call those newcomers and unmuting to claim a medallion that gives hope to the newcomer that they can recover. And in this wonderful group, they pass the coin around the room and they'll actually mail you a coin. So working with others helps keep me abstinent, and it's humbling, and it reminds me where I came from being on the journey with them. So I just wanted to read something from the big book. This is page 14 from Bill's story. While I lay in the hospital, the thought came that there were thousands of hopeless alcoholics who might be glad to have what had been so freely given to me. Perhaps I could help some of them. They in turn might work with others. My friend had emphasized, and that's Emmy, the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly, it was imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works is dead. And then further on, if he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. So this is a program of action, and it's sometimes a sacrifice. But when I came into program, my sponsor told me to never pass up an opportunity for service. So if there's a phone call coming in and I can see it's a fellow, I try to take the phone call so that they can get their hookups in. And now that I'm sponsoring, I can take food changes, and it just takes a few minutes. And the real service is when it's not convenient, just giving yourself to others. So it's a real privilege to be on this journey with all of you, and to be able to talk one-on-one with each other about program and our recovery, and doing that with the newcomer especially is a real gift. So I'm grateful to be able to do service tonight. Thanks, everyone. I pass.
Thank you, Liz. Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applause service? Thank you. If you have not added your information to the chat for our We Care book, please take a moment to do so now so we can add it to the book here in the room. We will keep the We Care book circulating until everyone has had an opportunity to sign it. The folder will continue to circulate for the duration of the meeting so that everyone may take names and phone numbers for their personal contacts. Enter your email in the chat to receive the list. Is there anyone who has not yet signed? The Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are here with us today for the first time in the meeting room, will you please stand and introduce your name by first name only? Crystal. Hi, Crystal. Welcome. Welcome. Thank you. If you are attending for the first time virtually, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press star and six on your telephone keypad. All right.
Hi, this is Sheila from Los Angeles, and this is my first time on the two-hour OA virtual meeting. So thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Welcome, Sheila. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, my name is Angelica, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I am new in the Tuesday night meeting. Thank you so much.
Welcome, Angelica. Thank you.
From Mexico City. Hello, everybody.
Hello. Alrighty, thank you. May we have a treasurer's report?
Not tonight.
Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, make it accessible to individuals who are deaf or anyone using ASL, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. A basket will be passed for those here in the room and those joining virtually. You may go to mnhowlive.org to donate. The promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. And that was from the Big Book, page 84 through 83. Are there any announcements in the room or virtually?
Hi, I'm Sheila, still a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sheila.
Couple of announcements. At the beginning of October, we had the convention here in Minnesota, and all of the speakers from that convention were recorded. So for those of you that are interested in getting a recording of those speakers, you can go out to the Unity Intergroup website, which is overeaters.org. Go to events and then you'll see recordings. And that's where you can get the recordings of all of the speakers from the convention for only $15. And there were fabulous speakers, so encourage you to take a look at that. And then also, I know it's only November, but want everyone to mark their calendars, or at least those here in Minnesota, mark your calendars for Saturday, January 25th. There's a workshop taking place in Anoka. It's called Tools of the Trade, What Abstinence Looks Like. And just a few things that are going to be discussed, but just things like how to grocery shop, you know, how to handle a grocery store, convenience stores, planes, trains, and automobiles, how to travel abstinently, reading labels, even living with other people that might be foodies or even normies. So If you're interested in that, you can also register. You can register for that at overeaters.org. Otherwise, I also have some brochures back on the table for those here in the room. So mark your calendars for January 25th. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Sheila. Literature and books. Newcomer and sponsored materials are located in the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowfoammeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At OA Howe meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the Howe program. All other abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone joining us virtually may also request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. Alrighty, everyone, yes, this is the time. Well, we could be celebrating long before now, but nonetheless, this is the official time where we celebrate together. So, medallions. Just an opportunity to, let's see. All right, so I'm gonna start. Do we have anyone in the room with 9+ years? Not tonight. 8 years? 7 years. 6, 5, or 4? What about 3 years? 2 years? 18 months? 1 year? 9 months? 6 months.
9 months! Yay!
Linda! Yes! Linda. Congratulations, Linda! Yes!
Thank you.
Ooh, and look at this. Oh my goodness, this is purple. It is fantastic. Alrighty, I'm gonna pass this. Yes! And that fantastic lipstick. I'm gonna pass this around the room for you. We'll make sure you get this, Erlinda. Perfect. Wow. All right. Anyone at 6 months? 3 months? 2 months?
Yay, I have 2 months, Jane. Woo-hoo! Thank you, Riley.
Yay! Yay!
Thank you.
All right. Wonderful, Jane. Oh my gosh. All right. So.
Yay.
All right. Wow. Okay. And we have a fantastic 2 month medallion here. We're going to pass this around the room also. And congratulations to you, Jane. Yay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Anyone that is wanting a medallion, if you put your address in the chat room, we'll make certain that you get your medallion. We'll get it to you. Again, so I'm sorry, I was at 2 months. Do we have 30 days, 1 month? Anyone? Okay.
Hi.
Oh, I'm sorry. There was movement in the room. I was like, oh, there's somebody here. But it looks like we have someone here. Miss Gabrielle, yes?
Yes, this is Gabrielle from New York, celebrating 30 days today.
Thank you. Wonderful. Yes.
Congrats.
Gabrielle, wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations. Oh, we've got some fantastic Scarlet. I'll call this Scarlet. Yes. For 1 month. Wonderful. Congratulations to you, ma'am. I'm going to pass this around the room also, and we'll make sure we get this to you. All right. Wonderful. Oh, we've been through those, but we're going to, and it's certainly last but not least, we have a 24-hour medallion that we offer to anyone that would like one. You've heard something here tonight that has inspired you. Maybe you want to boost in your program. Again, it's not that you're committing to anything, but much like this says, to thine own self be true. I love these medallions, but nonetheless, there is a 24-hour medallion available for anyone. You may take it now, or if you want to request it later, you certainly can do so, but it is here for the taking. Anyone? Anyone in the room? Anyone? 24 hours? All righty. You have 1 month? Oh, are you going to come up and celebrate, ma'am?
I've been asked.
Okay. Would you like to get a 1 month medallion? You're welcome to. Come on up. You're welcome to. Yes.
Woohoo.
Yes. Congratulations, ma'am. Oh, thank you for sharing that and letting us celebrate with you. Wonderful. Come on up. In fact, I'll meet you some of the way, okay? How about that?
And what's your name?
Tony also in the room. As I said, there was some movement in the room. So yes, we're celebrating 1 month with Tony. Thank you, Tony.
Congratulations, Tony.
Yeah. Yay, Tony.
Thank you so very much. That is it. So again, as I said, the medallions are available if you would like one. If you put your name in, your name and address in the chat area, and we'll make certain that we get these medallions out to you. And again, thank you so very much for letting me present the medallions. All righty. So are there, let's see, are there any step-ups at all this evening?
Not tonight.
What about anniversaries? Any anniversaries? All righty. So again, virtual attendees may sign up to celebrate their step-ups or anniversaries via the link or our website. So now the leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. And myself, I am Nancy, as I said, and I just want to say again that, this is not my first time before you, but again, nonetheless, it is an honor to just share with you. I heard so far so many things this evening that have resonated with me and also helped me to remember how fortunate I am. I read tonight and also heard and have heard many times how our stories talk about what our life was like, what happened, and also how things are and how they are now. And also another thing that was mentioned was that we want to keep these meetings are for positive. We'll keep it positive because that's actually what it is. And I just want to talk about the positive changes. One of my fellows before me, when they were giving a pitch, talked about how the reading and writing has caused them, just in this program of recovery, to be responsible, and how it's a plan of action. And that is something that I truly have found to be true, is that it has caused me to be a more responsible person. And it was something that I agree with her when she mentioned, I would not believe that that would be something that I would be excited about, or that I would even be able to admit the fact that, no, it kind of looked like I had things going on and like I was, had it together. I was good at making it look one way, but the trained eye, which I've come to find are my fellows, the trained eye, things weren't as hot as I was putting it on to be. But I'm thankful today that, as another fellow said, that in these rooms, I'm not told what I've done wrong, or I'm just accepted, and I'm thankful for that. And this evening, I've made several blunders, felt a little tongue-tied, but nonetheless, I am among peers, and I'm not alone, and I'm thankful for that tonight. I have an opportunity to celebrate recovery with you all. I got to do a lot of things tonight, hearing about how you all, as I have found a solution and how my life is the better for it, and you know, the disciplined nature of this program. And that was something I didn't know in my life. I just I took for granted, and maybe others have also, that that there was more. And I'm thankful that I've found more and that I'm in recovery, and an opportunity to serve. I'm thankful for service tonight. And I didn't want to say no. My sponsor too, as another of my fellows mentioned, has encouraged me to say yes to service. And tonight I'm here before you with doing service. And another fellow, again, as you can tell, I'm appreciating and thankful, appreciative and thankful for this fellowship. You all, I fit right in, and I'm thankful for that. And that's my service, you all. I thought I was gonna do 10 minutes, but I don't think I am. I don't really think it's necessary. I'm thankful for the opportunity to share, but I'd like to practice listening. So here I go. With that, I'm going to pass. Thank you so very much, everyone. So you are welcome. Thank you. So now I'd like to introduce our guest speaker, and they would qualify for 20 minutes, and that would be Carol.
Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, this is Dave D in Albany, New York.
Hello, Dave. Welcome.
Thank you. Albany is the capital of the beautiful state of New York, for anyone who doesn't know. Thank you all for your wonderful service. It's such a gift that you provide to make a meeting available to connect to like this. So thank you for that. I also, I heard somebody mention isolation, and one of my issues is that I don't share details about my personal life with a lot of people. So I consider your group my new friends, and I have to share with you that I'm a new grandpa as of last Thursday. This is my second granddaughter, Olivia Ann. She was born at home with my son and daughter-in-law, and everybody's healthy, and I'm just tickled. And just to prove that I don't share details with people, and that I'm such a great isolator, when I shared the news that Olivia Ann was born, my two college-age kids didn't know that Rebecca was expecting, because I never told anybody. And I never told my older kids. I have a girlfriend who didn't know that I was going to be a grandfather. And so I'm trying to break through isolation, and this program helps me to do that. Our tools help me to do that, because that's not how this addict rolled in the past. I also, you guys reminded me of so much. It's so easy to come up with stuff as people are sharing on tools and doing the readings. But one of the most precious things in my world
is my 24-hour coin that was given to me by the OA How Monday Night Group. It was sent to me, and I couldn't believe that when I asked for a chip of desire, they actually asked me for my address and actually mailed it to me. And I've been holding on to that for the last 4 years, 4+ years now. And I'm so grateful for it. So let me just tell you what it was like for me. And I wrote down a couple of key things that I wanted to share about. But I'm also a recovering alcoholic and drug abuser. And I came into AA in 1989. And I never identified as a compulsive overeater before that time. And my compulsive overeating didn't really come to a head for me until I was roughly 11 or 12 years sober and drug free. But at the time, I was living in Schenectady, New York, and I was married for the second time and had two young children who are now in college. And that's when my second ex-wife used to use the phrase, the piggy ate it, when all the cookies had disappeared or all of the cake or pie was gone from the house. And it was because I had started really excessive eating and binge eating and pigging out on sugary things and, you know, what my trigger foods, which are pasta, bread, sugar, baked goods. I just found my sweet tooth, so to speak. And I was off to the races with compulsive overeating, and my weight got out of control. I think I got up to about 260 plus pounds at one point. And that's when I started to look for salvation from my overeating in OA. I had friends in AA who said, oh, there's this other program for people like us. You know, look at the size of you and me. And, you know, I can see that you've got some issues with food. So I started dabbling in OA, but that led to a literally decades long struggle with coming in and out of recovery around my eating. And towards the end of my my compulsive overeating, before OA How found me, I was working in the tallest building in Albany, New York, which is the Corning Tower. It's like 45 stories high, beautiful building. And at the end of the day, this bakery down on the ground floor would sell their wares for half price. And my daily routine was that I would struggle and swear not to go and buy my trigger foods. And then by the afternoon, 50% of the days I would succumb and I would go buy lots and lots of baked goods, always under the guise of, I have two kids at home who will eat, most of this dozen donuts, or they'll eat some of these dozen bagels. But it always ended up that they could care less about my trigger foods, and I would end up eating most or all of that stuff. And it was just a nightmare of hiding my eating at home and going to sneak another and another and another until I was so ashamed that all of those items were gone, be it bagels or donuts or ice cream. It's no joke, as a lot of us understand. I got to a point where I wasn't necessarily suicidal, but I did not want to go on living. And I also had resigned myself to just eat myself to death, because the weight that I had gotten to, I'm sure that my heart was stressed and that there were other health issues on the way. So I was just resigned to that. There's nothing I can do about this. I've tried OA. I just can't do it. There's no hope for me. Life isn't worth living. I can't wait till my kids go to college and move out. And then I don't have to worry about staying alive anymore. So I never had a plan to kill myself, but I certainly wasn't
psyched about waking up every day. And another thing that's that would be funny if it weren't so pathetic, and I wrote this down in my notes, but one of my favorite but most loathsome holidays was Father's Day, because there was a time when my kids lived about 20 miles away from me, and I was a weekend parent. So on Father's Day, when I would go pick up my kids, we had this ice cream shop that had stores basically every 3 miles in the Albany area. So on Father's Day, they gave a free ice cream cone to fathers. And so, oh my God, I start to cry whenever I think about how ashamed I am of this behavior. But I would drive to the steward shops and get an ice cream cone. And I would drive to the next steward shop after I'd eaten that ice cream cone. And I'd get out of the car and brush the flakes off of my my shirt or my lap. And then I'd go get another ice cream cone. And, you know, it was heaven and it was hell. And, but that was the end and, you know, the beginning of the end of my compulsive overeating. And so, I knew that something had to happen. And, I, you know, time and time again, I would swear off this food, the eating, and just the last time that I swore it off and reached out for help. This is actually funny, but I just wanted to find recovery in Overeaters Anonymous, but without having to do that cumbersome interaction with actual human beings. So I was trying to find like a web meeting or something like this where I could just like lurk in the background and never have to unmute and say my name or anything, just like sponge off of you guys and never have to open up. And I just wanted to like try to get abstinent and sober, but without all that surrender business. So as luck would have it, the place I was working did not allow for a web connection. And all I could find was the link for an OA How call-in meeting. And so I tried it. And I don't remember which was the first meeting I dialed into. It was probably a Tuesday, 12:30 Eastern time meeting. And when I heard what you lunatics did to get and stay abstinent, it both terrified me. I really couldn't believe that you all did everything that you said you were doing, because I was never able to do any of that stuff. I could never muster up the strength to go to a dietitian. I couldn't stick to a food plan. I couldn't call a sponsor every day. And when I heard you did all of these things every single day without fail, I couldn't believe it. I knew that I couldn't do it. But like it says in the big book, I just had this vision of like, this is the last opportunity for me. There's a life preserver thrown to me and I have to grab it and I have to like cling on. And so I just made that decision, you know, that was like the real surrender in my recovery. It's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give it a try today. And so I think I got somebody's phone number. I really agreed to dial into another meeting the next day. And then I agreed to get somebody's phone number and I agreed to make a phone call. And I just agreed to try it. And that was like such a powerful and amazing surrender in my recovery, because as I can see today, I had a toe in the pool of recovery for, you know, all the years I was in AA. You know, I was, I worked with a sponsor on and off in AA, but I never called a sponsor every day. And I always abandoned a sponsor because I picked up such shame about not being able to call every day. And so, as a result of that, I never worked an eighth and ninth step. I was terrified of ever getting to that. And so, what a miracle. And I really know that OA How found me. I didn't find it. It was just the way it worked out, you know. My plan was to not have to interact with humans, and here I am, you know, working all of the tenets of the OA How Fellowship on a daily basis for 4+ years now, and it's absolutely, I'm amazed. I can't believe it, and I
I started working in O.A. Howe in June of 2015. And what a beautiful and confusing experience to try to learn how to eat abstinently. I thought that, you know, I was so close to being abstinent because I was eating these Something Farms black bean burgers. And I wasn't even weighing them. I was just like throwing a patty in the microwave and doing something with it. And I found out that that wasn't how it's done. And I found out about the exact weighing and measuring. And I called and asked somebody to be my sponsor early on. And so this sponsor worked with me and taught me what abstinence really meant and taught me how and worked with me and helped me to get in touch with a dietitian. But this sponsor worked with me with this intermediate food plan that just to start to get abstinent and try to get abstinent. And so what a beautiful, gentle way to get into this. My sponsor just said, you know, just stick with this food plan. And when you are ready to start counting days of abstinence, we'll let you know. But this is a big adjustment. And it really was. Wow. And someone talked about the sweating of the weighing and measuring and putting meals together. And someone made me laugh out loud the other night on a meeting. They said they swear they took 3 hours putting together their daily food plan. And oh my God, that's what it felt like to me. Nowadays, I can whip off my food plan in like 5 minutes. And then I get into my reading and writing and do 15 minutes of that. And it's just, I guess, to be a way that we live. I want to talk about my experience with getting a sponsor in this program, because the sponsorship tenet and tool that we use is so precious to me. When someone mentioned that the way we use sponsors is we call a sponsor every day and they block out 15 minutes for us, I had this inferiority complex and probably still do, but I could not believe that another human being would carve out 15 minutes of their life for me and be there for when I would call them every day. And that was so precious and meaningful and just generous to me that it was so impactful in my recovery that it left me with such a sense of indebtedness that I am so ready to give of myself in service and especially sponsorship today, because it was so freely given to me when I needed it so badly. And so the sponsor worked with me to help me to get abstinent and get a food plan from a dietitian and to find out exactly what I was supposed to eat. And I never understood how important it was to have a professionally doled out plan of eating, because it takes away all of the guesswork. You know, I used to think that I could decide what was right for me to eat. And if I were to try to do that, there's always that little, that voice in my head that would say, oh, you didn't allocate enough food for yourself, or you're keeping food from yourself, so you should have some more. To have those voices removed from my insane brain is such a gift. I take it on faith, and it's part of my surrender that this dietitian, by working with this dietitian and with the help of my sponsor, we came to this concrete food plan that I can adhere to every day and let go of any responsibility or even capability or right to make food decisions on my own. What a freedom that is from the bondage of food for me. And the sponsorship tool that we work with, it's such an amazing tool. It's like an apprenticeship in our fellowship, you know, but just by the nature of working with a sponsor for those first 70 days and doing the 70 questions and learning how to get and eat abstinently and working the tools and getting thrown into service on meetings and being a newbie and giving out your phone number, it prepared me, to my amazement, to actually be a sponsor. Now, I didn't believe that I was ready to be a sponsor, but I was told that when you finish your 70 questions, you will do a step up and you will make yourself available to be a sponsor to someone else. And holy moly, I so love the mandates that we have in this program, because I have just been victimized by suggestions in recovery. I don't take suggestions well. I need to be told exactly what to do. I need to know what the rules are, and then I will follow them. As long as my surrender is working. So the beautiful part of that experience coming in is we rework the first three steps in those first 70 days of abstinence in OA How. And I feel like I got a great experience with surrender. And one of the things that I truly am amazed about with the OA How Fellowship is our integration and how beautifully coupled we are with the third step, and that making a decision to turn my will over. Because someone mentioned that faith without works is dead, and our program is truly a program of works. We work tools every single day, which naturally leads me to surrender my will. So, you know, another miracle. I don't have to like contemplate my navel and wonder, am I really turning my will over to a higher power today? Or do I just, you know, am I just paying lip service to that step? I have made an agreement to be a member of the OA How Fellowship. And that agreement for me means that I will follow the tenets that this fellowship has established for me. And that is, I'll call my sponsor every single day at exactly the same time. I will get a dietitian and be given a food plan from a professional. I will commit my food, and I will weigh and measure the way we talk about weighing and measuring. I won't eyeball food. I will do prayer and meditation on a daily basis. I will do a 10-step inventory every single day. And wow, these are all evidence of surrendering my will to my higher power every single day, because this addict is not doing any of that stuff without having some rules and without, you know, being shown by everyone else that that's how it's done. I really love the way we just work that surrender every single day. I also, I'm amazed that I was able to dance around recovery for so many years before OA How found me, and I avoided the eighth and ninth step. I would like walk up to it with a new sponsor, and we would get to step six and seven, which are always very vague and abstract to me, and still are. And I had such terror of humbling myself. I guess I wasn't humble, and I just would abandon that process before getting through an eighth and ninth step process. So in the OA How Fellowship, I've been able to work through all of the steps in sequence and relatively quickly. You know, I'm only in OA How for 4+ years, and I've worked through the steps once in total and very rigorously with my sponsor, and another time
time.
And now the beautiful part of that is that having gotten all the steps and kind of
time's up,
I'm amazed. So I'll wrap up in a second, but you know, having worked through all of those steps, I now have like a clean side of the street. And with the daily inventory that OA How asked me to do, I don't have any giant cleanup jobs from making a calamity of my life. And I'm blessed with a wonderful life. I can't tell you how wonderful it is to be in this chair because every day of abstinence, you can't see it, but I know how different my life, my attitude, my outlook, and my recovery is today, thanks to this amazing program. So with that, I will stop, and thank you for letting me share my story. It helps me so much, and providing service helps me to stay absent one more day. Thank you very much. Dave D. in Albany. I'll pass.
Right on. Thank you, Dave. Thank you so much. Thank you. Oh, wow. So the floor is now open for 3-minute pitches or sharing. In HOW meetings, we share our experience, strength, and hope. No one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask that you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked out over the phone or after the meeting. Would someone care to pitch? Virtual sharing can be done by turning on your camera and unmuting yourself. Would anyone care? All righty. Yes, Caroline?
Yes, hi. Hi, everybody. Good evening, Caroline here.
Good evening,
just
Carol.
Grateful, thank the speaker and the meeting organizers. Thank you so much. Wonderful to be abstinent with you today and sharing this way of life, which gives so much more than it takes. And I thought that came out in the speaker's comments too. So I just wanted to say I'm doing it with you today, and I'm going to be doing it tomorrow too, no matter what. Thank you.
Alrighty, would anyone care to pitch? 3-minute pitches. Or sharing. Alrighty. So I want to thank you all for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all of those who participated, especially our speaker, Dave, who offered so much of himself. Thank you, Dave. Thank you so very much, Dave. May we please have the reading of Just For Today.
Hi, everybody. Oh, there I go. Hi, I'm Rebecca, compulsive eater.
Hello, Rebecca.
Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in 3 ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least 2 things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that so that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. Thanks.
Thank you, Rebecca. For those joining us in person, I would like to ask for your help in putting away the equipment and bringing the room back to its original setup after we have concluded our closing prayer. Thanks for your help with this. We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Yay, interpreter.
Yes, closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion and time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, with those who wish to, please join us to say the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute your phones. And let's pray for those who are still suffering.
Let's have a moment of silence for the still suffering compulsive overeater. God,
the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Oh, okay. Right on.
Good night. Good day, everybody.
Thanks, Dave.